Matt's story echoes another story that we read about in Mark chapter 2. And so I'll encourage you rather to turn there to Mark chapter 2. This is a story that you are no doubt familiar with. This is the story that perhaps when you first read, you giggled a little bit at. This is the story of the four friends bringing their other friend to Christ, finding the house so packed with people. They climbed the outside stairwell, found themselves up on the roof, and began to tear the roof apart. And in case you wondered when you read that story through the first time, that was as socially unacceptable back then as it would be today. Sometimes we read that and just assume that that was a common custom. It wasn't. You didn't typically go to your neighbor's house and start tearing up his roof. And so if you put yourself in their sandals and you're inside jammed up against Jesus and all of a sudden pieces of wood and plaster and dirt begin falling on your head and Jesus is interrupted and he has to step back and everyone tries to step back and create some room and all of a sudden the hole widens and this bed is let down and you remember from there Jesus looking at that individual there in the bed said, "Son, your sins be forgiven." Many fascinating aspects of this story would be helpful for us to consider tonight, and there are important principles for us to glean, but let's just state one for our purposes tonight. God knows and can meet our deepest need. When those friends tore the roof open and dropped their friend down to Jesus, their implicit request was clear: please physically heal our friend. But Jesus responded to that demonstration of their faith by declaring, "Son, your sins be forgiven you," in verse 5. Now, he would shortly heal this man physically to prove his ability to pardon in verses 10 and 11, but his grace is magnified in this passage in that he didn't just answer their physical request, but went beyond that and dealt with a spiritual need, rendering their lives completely changed on more than one level. See, Jesus knew that he would soon die upon a cross as the payment for their sins, that he would be buried as a demonstration of that death, but that he would rise from the grave, declaring his triumph over our enemies and his victory to save. And so on that merit alone, Christ provides pardon and heals the physical and spiritual sickness of this individual. When confronted by those who disagree in this passage with what he has done, Jesus replied, if you look down there, "They that are whole," verse 17, "have no need of a physician." They're not sick. They don't need to be made better. But they that are sick need the physician. "I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." All of us can remember the day, hopefully like Matthew, when we recognized that our souls were sick. And we recognized finally that that was our deepest need. And we no longer followed Jesus loosely, perhaps, as some of us did beforehand, out of religiosity, or because we saw, like his first disciples, the bread that he had dispersed in the wilderness, and we were fascinated by what he could do. But we finally recognized that he himself was the miracle. And we simply recognized that he could meet our deepest needs. Perhaps like this man, you didn't really know what was wrong with you. You knew that you were broken, that you were sick, and when you finally came to Christ, you discovered that he really could make you better. He really could cure even your deepest needs. And so the vast majority of us that are in this room tonight recognize that one of God's resolutions to you as his child is that he has made you better. God gives the healing and grace that our hearts have always hungered for.